Chapter 66. I had been warned long before I qualified that country practice was a dirty, stinking job. I had accepted the fact and adjusted myself to it, but there were times when this side of my life obtruded itself and became almost insupportable. Like now, when even after a long hot bath, I still smelt. As I hoisted myself from the steaming water, I sniffed at my arm, and there it was. The malodorous memory of that horrible cleansing at Tommy Dearlove's, striking triumphantly through all the soap and antiseptic almost as fresh and pungent as it had been at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Nothing but time would move it. But something in me rebelled at the idea of crawling into bed in this state, and I looked with something like desperation along the row of bottles on the bathroom shelf. I stopped at Mrs. Hall's bath salts, shining violent pink in their big glass jar. This was something I'd never tried before, and I tipped a small handful into the water around my feet. For a moment my head swam as the rising steam was suddenly charged with an aggressive sweetness. Then, on an impulse, I shook most of the jar's contents into the bath and lowered myself once more under the surface. For a long time I lay there smiling to myself in triumph as the oily liquid lapped around me. Not even Tommy Dearlove's cleansing could survive this treatment. The whole process had a stupefying effect on me, and I was half asleep even as I sank back on the pillow. There followed a few moments of blissful floating before a delicious slumber claimed me. And when the bedside phone boomed in my ear, the sense of injustice and personal affront was even stronger than usual. Blinking sleepily at the clock, which said 1:15 a.m., I lifted the receiver and mumbled into it. But I was jerked suddenly wide awake when I recognized Mr. Alderson's voice. Candy was carving and something was wrong. Would I come right away? There has always been a this-is-where-I-came-in feeling after a night call. And as my light swept the cobbles of the deserted marketplace, it was there again. A sense of returning to fundamentals, of really being me. The silent houses, the tight-drawn curtains, the long empty street giving way to the stone walls of the country road, flipping endlessly past on either side. At these times, I was usually in a state of suspended animation, just sufficiently awake to steer the car in the right direction, but tonight, I was fully alert, my mind ticking over anxiously, because Candy was something special. She was the house cow, a pretty little Jersey, and Mr. Alderson's particular pet. She was the sole member of her breed in the herd. But whereas the milk from the Shorthorns went into the churns to be collected by the big dairy, Candy's rich yellow offering found its way onto the family porridge every morning, or appeared heaped up on trifles and fruit pies, or was made into butter, a golden, creamy butter to make you dream. But apart from all that, Mr. Alderson just liked the animal. He usually stopped opposite her on his way down the byre, and began to hum to himself and give her tail head a brief scratch as he passed. And I couldn't blame him, because I sometimes wish all cows were Jerseys, small, gentle, doe-eyed creatures you could push around without any trouble, with padded corners and fragile limbs. Even if they kicked you, it was like a love tap compared with the clump from a craggy Frisian. I just hoped it would be something simple with Candy, because my stock wasn't high with Mr. Alderson, and I had a nervous conviction that he wouldn't react favourably if I started to make a ham-fisted job of carving his little favourite. I shrugged away my fears. Obstetrics in the Jersey were usually easy. Helen's father was an efficient farmer. As I pulled up in the yard, I could see into the lighted loose box where two buckets of water were steaming in readiness for me. A towel was draped over the half-door, and Stan and Bert, the two long-serving cowmen, were standing alongside their boss. Candy was lying comfortably in deep straw. She wasn't straining, and there was nothing visible at the vulva, but the cow had a preoccupied inward look as though all was not well with her. I closed the door behind me. "Have you had a feel inside her, Mr. Alderson?" "I've had me hand in, and there's an out there." "Nothing at all?" "Not a thing." "She's been on for a few hours and not showing, so I popped me hand in and there's no head, no legs nowt. Not much room either. That's when I rang you." This sounded very strange. I hung my jacket on a nail and began thoughtfully to unbutton my shirt. It was when I was pulling it over my head that I noticed Mr. Alderson's nose wrinkling. The farm men, too, began to sniff and look at each other wonderingly. Mrs. Hall's bath salts, imprisoned under my clothing, had burst from their bondage in a sickly wave, filling the enclosed space with their strident message. Hurriedly, I began to wash my arms in the hope that the alien odour might pass away. But it seemed to get worse. welling from my warm skin, competing incongruously with the honest smells of cow, hay and straw. Nobody said anything. These men weren't the type to make the ribald remark which would have enabled me to laugh the whole thing off. There was no ambiguity about this scent. It was voluptuously feminine, and Bert and Stan stared at me open-mouthed. Mr. Alderson, his mouth turned down at the corners, his nostrils still twitching, kept his eyes fixed on the far wall. Cringing inwardly, I knelt behind the cow, and in a moment my embarrassment was forgotten. The vagina was empty. A smooth passage narrowing rapidly to a small, rigid opening, just wide enough to admit my hand. Beyond, I could feel the feet and head of a calf. My spirits plummeted. Torsion of the uterus. There was going to be no easy victory for me here. I sat back on my heels and turned to the farmers. She's got a twisted calf bed. There's a live calf in there, all right, but there's no way out for it. I can barely get my hand through. I thought there was something peculiar. Mr. Alderson rubbed his chin and looked at me doubtfully. What can we do about it, then? We'll have to try to correct the twist by rolling the cow over while I keep hold of the calf. It's a good job there's plenty of us here. And that'll put everything right, will it? I swallowed.